Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are into almost turkey season. I'm counting on some more pumpkin spice latte ice cream from our friends at DeHark. All of our local sponsors make this possible, and certainly some new sponsors and some new friends that came to us during our merger period from WNST and doing sports to not sticking to sports, quite frankly, and doing the Baltimore Positive thing. Although this week, it's going to be a lot of Tennessee Titans around here with an axe to grind and certainly a lot of bad vibes. I remember why I got out of the sports radio business, Todd Schuller, on Monday morning. I woke up at 5 in the morning and I'm kind of cranky after what happened on Sunday night and watching the downpour and the frustration and the press conferences and sort of falling asleep, drooling, doing that. And I wake up, and all over Facebook, all over Twitter, I got to watch how pissed off people were in the aftermath. And I thought, you know what? I'm going back to politics after all this, Todd.
Well, they're pretty frustrating either way. You know, you can get hung up and too emotional in either your politics or your sports. But, yeah, big bummer on the Patriots game. You know, it felt like we're rolling up into Foxborough, you know, with all the tools. Like, well, we, you know, when's the last time you felt like we were going to come out of there with an easy enough win, or, you know? But
I picked them to win 37-3 before the game. That's, I effed it all up. It's totally on me, dude. Like, when would I ever pick the Ravens to win 37-3 in New England? I would say that, you know, I should have pumped the brakes a little bit. I should have, especially with no Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell, for sure.
But, you know, as I've sort of told my Cleveland Browns wife that who lives frustrated and in the day by day and in the years and years of tortured Browns fanhood. But look, the reality is we're all going to the playoffs. You know, they've expanded the playoffs. Probably the Browns and the Steelers and the Ravens are all going to be there. And, you know, we're not going to barnstorm in there with the 14-2 like we did last year, but we're going to be there. And once you're there, it's a whole new ball game, right?
Better be healthier than they are, right? I mean, literally, that the issues for me relate to replacing Ronnie Stanley, replacing Nick Boyle. It was terrible. You know, these just awful injuries to these guys that the minute you see it, it's horrifying. And then you're like, all right, then we got to go play the next 8 weeks, 10 weeks, however long it's going to be without the player that they designed the whole thing around. I think it's getting harder and harder to sort of piece this thing together for them. And that concerns me. That's all. This has been a fun season. And look, and this is where maybe the sports and the politics sort of merge, right? Like, the political thing for guys like you and me is the other 6 days of the week lately, right? And where we are, where we're waking up and the president's tweeting that he's going to stay in charge or thinks he's going to stay in charge or going to try to lead some sort of bloody revolution through all of this stuff. The football becomes like when your team's good on Sunday, at least it gives us something to do. Hey, man, next couple weeks, we don't even play on Sunday. We play this Sunday. Then if we go a whole month, we don't even play on Sunday. I'm going to be watching like the Bears play on the red zone and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It harkens back to the early times of COVID, you know, the dog days of COVID with no sports whatsoever. You know, we're starting to get a flavor back for it, and it's become a very welcome distraction to have, you know, the Ravens and the college games. And we had a great fight this weekend too with the guy from Omaha, Terrence Crawford. I mean,
they played a little golf tournament too.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. You know, Tiger was hanging around a little bit in the weekend. So there was enough. It was kind of a snoozer of a college football weekend. So I think we might've needed a couple extra bells and whistles, but I'm not cut out for the 8:20 starts. I need those 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, I mean, the next couple of weeks sitting watching Red Zone, I'm like, I'm going to get to know the rest of the league. But, like, my wife is in the kitchen making cabbage rolls, and we're making food. I mean, Sunday's going to be a baking day around here through the holidays. Todd Schuller is here. DamnGoodLawyer.com is the way to find them. And Blondell Miller and Schuller and down in Essex, Eastern Avenue. I've driven by a million times. Former delegate, and I love the segment. My favorite segment this month, no disrespect to Ben Cardin or Chris Van Hollen, was the one where you're talking about counting the votes and your legal background and where we are. We're, I guess, another week and a half out on this now, and you lost your pop recently, all this. But trying to process this point in American history for a dude like you, all due respect to your football knowledge or how you make crawfish on Preakness or whatever else, this is where you live and eat. To live through this point in American history where we have a sitting American president basically not wanting to leave and crying foul on the election system in America and having large swaths. There was a piece the other day, I saw 82% of Republicans who voted for Donald Trump believe that the election is now rigged. I think it's the first time I've said that out loud. The election was rigged.
Yeah,
it's
that's
absurd,
staggering.
Right? Like, I just to say that out loud, that the election was rigged in America, I thought that would be like yelling fire in a crowded theater. It just would be something that you wouldn't do in our democracy.
No, I wonder where it all pieces back together after this, you know, like, the scary part for me, I guess, is the people that are letting him do his thing, right? I mean, like the people that know better, the people in Congress and the senators, it's
the people who are also on the same ballot that he's calling rigged, literally.
Exactly.
Right?
But it's been the same tale for 4 years now of, well, he just did that, we're going to let him roll. Like at some point you got to call him up or call him out and say, look, you know, it's time to move on. At a minimum, let's get this transition in order so that we can be ready to deal with the coronavirus on day one and not having some bizarre foreign military situation sneaking up on the soon to be commander in chief. You know, like we need the adults here, you know, to start putting this thing together.
What does that mean, though? I mean, when you and I sit around the citizens, we need the – I've been waiting for the adults since the impeachment. You know, I've been waiting for the adults thinking like the adults were going to rescue us. The citizens were the adults. I thought we would vote for something far different than 4 years of lies built upon lies built upon lies. I'm angry about the lies. You know, that's where and the amount of people in my life that parrot completely unsubstantiated thoughts in regard to anything, but now in regard to the most precious thing that all of our forefathers fought for, democracy, fair elections, free speech, all of these things that we've talked about. And they've been literally dragged through the mud here over the last 4 years, and you finally feel like, all right, we voted, we really voted, 306, landslide, call it whatever you want to call it. And yet, as we still sit here, you're wondering when you're firing leaders of the military and the Department of Defense that the word coup is something we've talked about in other places. And I tweeted out in the early morning hours, like, if you could exterminate enough people to win a vote, would he be a guy that would be on board with that? He's standing in the way of a peaceful transition right now. He literally has not in 1 minute mellowed from standing in the way of a peaceful transition. That's the stance that's being taken right now. I find that to be alarming, Todd.
It's extremely alarming. And we went into it last week. The system relies on us being at least, let me say this. There's a difference between not my president and not the president. Right. If you want to say, oh, he's not my president, my president is Donald Trump, I'll never support. I don't mind that. But not the president. Like, hey, Jack, he won. Even Trump, you know, I've not been entirely comfortable with any moment of the Trump presidency. And I wouldn't say I respect the office because I don't think he does either. But I respect the fact that he won the office. Like I've always respected the fact that he has the authority to do what he is trying to do in most instances. Of course, there's been illegality, of course, but there's a difference there, right?
Like every executive order, yeah, as an example, right. Just as a few examples.
Yeah, they're just the law of the land when you are the president. Now, you don't have to be my president. I don't have to accept it, and I don't have to say, you know, my heart fills with patriotic pride when I see him on the television because it doesn't, and it never did, and it never will. But you have to at least own the fact that he is in charge by the laws and the rules that we've set up, and to make the jump beyond that, you know, they never respected Obama as president. Like, oh, not my president. Fine, you don't want to respect him. Okay, but you respect the fact that he lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You know,
well, the videos of him calling the Republican primaries rigged when Ted Cruz beat. You know, like it's a pretty tired act. I mean, if this guy came into your law firm and said, represent me, you'd spend an hour with him and you'd find out how dishonest he is. It doesn't take much. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part that's prodding to me, is it doesn't take much to portray him as dishonest. He is. You know what I mean? He's openly dishonest. And for people to not, it really is tribal like sports. You know, if the Patriots are your team, Bill Belichick never cheated. If the Astros are your team, you know, you can make a case that Jose Altuve was not wearing a wire when it's pretty obvious he was wearing a wire. You know, don't take off my shirt, the whole deal, right? So I think you can what I've learned is the human psyche can talk itself into any sort of Stockholm syndrome situation. That's my belief with this. And I sort of saw it with Angelos and the Orioles for a long, long time as well, that if you had an Orioles Christmas ornament, no matter what Pete said it, it must be true. I mean, I lived that on the radio for 15 years, and the man was an abject serial liar. And I called him a serial liar because that's what he was. It was offensive to some people. I lost friends, you know, all of that. But in the end, that's what you have to call it that. Otherwise, you wind up with an empty stadium, an empty city, empty hotel, empty everything. And in the case of shoot some bleach into your system and telling Woodward one minute, you know, we know how awful this is, and then going out and pitching it as a Democratic hoax. And now we're at this COVID point, this political COVID breaking point in these red states where hospitals are overflowing and they're shoving it under the rug. The COVID thing is real, right? Like, no matter what, that's now real. And that is the reality of our culture. No matter who our president is, who our leader is, the real thing with COVID over the next 3 to 6 months is really going to tax our country in so many ways that I don't think we're even prepared for it, Todd.
But I think you started out with the right question. Like, where, you know, Jesus Jones right here, right now, you know, watching the world wake up from history, like, we're going to have come through the Trump thing, whatever in the hell it was. We're going to come through this virus, whatever in the hell it is. We're going to come through a summer of racial reckoning, the likes of which we haven't experienced in my lifetime, certainly. And we're going to have done it all at the same time, and we're going to have survived it. And will all of those things sort of crumble the very fragile civilization that we are, or will they simply be a sign of what we can accomplish in our civilization, what we can endure? I mean,
well, there's going to be a shift, right? And the shift after the Depression, the shift after the stock market crash was FDR and Tennessee Valley and the New Deal, like all of that, right? Putting people to work and making our country better. And I mean, as a guy who ran and won and a guy that ran and lost and counted votes and did all of that stuff, like, we drive around and hit the potholes and we're like, can't get that right. United States of America, we can't fix potholes. You know what I mean? We can't make Wi-Fi work for kids when we're in the middle of a plague and get them tablets in 2020. You know, we're a country of resources, of solar and hydro and water, and we had an industrial revolution here. Where are the smart people here doing smart things that are going to put the most amount of our people back to work?
Well, for one, how about the news out of Moderna and the news out of Pfizer? They're making vaccines. They're using technology that's never been used before to make these vaccines. I mean, like I say, there is a magic to it all. If we could maybe take the view from the Goodyear blimp a little more and like I say, see what it is that we have been getting through, you know, like we over here at Blondell Miller and Schuller, we've shut down and we've worked remotely and we've split our staff up and stuff like that. But we're churning, you know,
everybody that still is here is churning, right? Everybody has made massive adjustments in so many ways. So, I mean, maybe as we get to the holidays, people will feel that growth. You know, I mean, they'll feel a sense of loss and grief for the Pearl Jam concerts they've missed or the children they can't hug, and certainly for loved ones and law. I mean, we're going into, and Don and I talked to his sister, who's a psychotherapist, just about what we're going into here. But there is some gratitude to be found here for, like, hey, man, we're getting through this so far.
We're making
so, you know,
it. And they keep kicking us in the ass. I mean, you know, like I said, I just lost my dad, you know, like one more thing. That's not on the radar of like crap I got to worry about. You know, that's just like one more thud just hit, you know, keeps hitting you. And the fact that we're muddling along, we're making it. I Dolly Parton did an interview and, you know, she was talking about the holidays. Like all bets are off, right? Like I've watched Buddy the Elf with my kids. I watched Home Alone this weekend. I wasn't allowed to put any decorations up, but I did have one little string of lights just over the mantelpiece, you know, just to get the flavor for it. Like
you channeling your Clark Griswold? Is that what you're doing right now?
There's no rules this year. I think you get a freebie. You got to wait till after Thanksgiving. I think that's nonsense this year. I think we maybe keep the lights up. There was a movement, if you'll remember, early in COVID. People were like putting their lights back up and they were going to be like, we're just going to have Christmas lights until this thing's over. You know, like that didn't work. And
I went with the haircut. I've gone with the long hair. So,
right,
you know,
right.
Miller won't recognize. Well, maybe he will. I'll look like I was in eighth grade. This is what my hair looked like when I was in eighth grade chasing the chicks at the skate land.
I guarantee if he heard your voice, he wouldn't miss it in a second, you know, like, but you're that signature nester, you know, like he'd hear you coming down the hall.
There's only one of me. Yeah, unfortunately. Todd Schuller's here. He's Blondell Miller Schuller, damngoodlawyer.com. You know, talking about the tough stuff, though, and the holidays and where we are and having some gratitude for having gotten through this thing. I mean, I'm grateful every time I get a pumpkin spice. I got some apple cider, you know, seasonal things, you know, things sure. You can only get this time of the year. I love that stuff. Eggnogs. I got my first quart of eggnog at the farmer's market on Sunday. My wife and I did a shot of eggnog to start my no alcohol. I don't do alcohol, my eggnog. I don't do that.
I eggnog is gross enough that you can only what? Drink it if you're going to.
You don't like eggnog?
I have a couple of glasses over the course of the holiday season out of posterity alone, but certainly I don't get the alcohol-free stuff.
My mother was born in 1919. I know we talked about suffrage and whatnot with her, and she loved the Claxton fruitcake. And, you know, we were going through the Wise Market the other day, and they had the Claxton fruitcake there, and I hated it, right? And I looked at it, and it's the thing that, like, reminds you of your mother, right? Brings your heart, you know? Like,
no doubt.
So I see it, and I'm like, I damn near just want to buy one just to, you know, feel close to her. You know what I mean? But that's the holidays. But I don't want to have fruitcake. I mean, fruitcake tastes like, I don't know, it tastes like paper bag, man. It's awful. Fruitcake is terrible.
My two glasses of Pennsylvania Dutch cheap eggnog a year were always at the insistence of my father. You know, like, come on, we'll have one eggnog.
You know, to honor your father, I'll have an eggnog with you. Next week, we'll have eggnog together, all right?
And sounds like a
we'll
winner.
Have some eggnog ice cream from Taharka as well. Tell me what you guys do, because, I mean, Mark's been in my life forever. Your partner, he is more, you guys are more like a Penn and Teller. You're the talking one. You know, I guess Mark's trying a case right now, doing something, but I love having you on every week, but I want to make sure we honor Mark here too.
No, Mark is the guy that more or less taught me everything I know about law. I mean, or the area of law that the only real areas of law that either of us have ever practiced. And we both came to work here for Bill Blondell right out of law school. And we've been doing auto cases and workers' compensation and other injury matters, boat accidents and motorcycle accidents and truck accidents for our entire career. Mark has been here exclusively. He never left and he bought the practice. And then, you know, a couple of years later, I came back into the practice here. But that's what we do. We're an injury law firm. And when you are hurt, I've told you on your air before, we don't take every case. Not everything is a case, but we don't mind talking to you. We don't mind finding out if there is a case. We don't want people at home deciding, this probably isn't anything, or, you know, it might be very significant. And it's worth a talk and the consultation is always free. And, you know, we'll get together and we'll figure out if you have something. If you don't, we'll let you know. If it's an area of law that we don't practice in, we'll get you connected to a lawyer that does. And if it's a case, we're going to take it very seriously and we're going to take it, again, I've said before, we're going to take it all the way necessary. We're going to do it like we're going to court from day one. If we end up resolving it on the way, that's fine, but we're not going to sell it short. We're not going to take a couple of cheap bucks on the early. We're going to ride it, you know, to the distance necessary to get maximum recovery.
Todd Schuler's here. It is Blondell Miller Schuler. You can find them at damngoodlawyer.com. They're right down in Essex on Eastern Avenue. Best way to find it. You go to their website, a wealth of information, a bunch of different stuff. We pulled it up out on the Zooms many, many times before. For you, I guess, in sort of getting through the holidays here and getting through this tough part with COVID, have you felt any changes coming? Certainly, the changes in my life on social media is every day someone's popping a positive COVID test somewhere in my world. We're trying to keep them all alive, trying to keep them all healthy, the sense of taste and all that. Feeling a little bit of that in Essex or a little bit in your Calvert Hall world and your children as well, right?
Yeah, I felt like maybe, you know, when it was really going in the spring, you know, you're seeing the numbers and then you're like, wait a minute, does anybody even know anybody that's actually been diagnosed with this? You know, like it felt distant, you know, and then you started to get people as summer went on. But you're absolutely right. In the last four or five weeks, I feel like there's always somebody at the office here who had some degree of separation from an exposure that would require them to get a test, or you know, somebody. My kids go to school live because they go to a little Catholic school, but you know, they'll shut down a little section of it or a little grade or whatever, you know, like, so they'll be, it's around, it's going to be ugly, but it's going to be better when it's over. Like this winter, we're driving into the hurricane right now, but we're going to be done when we drive out of the hurricane. I really believe that, when they start,
well, I believe in a vaccine for sure. Cause I think we're smart as a culture. You know, if Donald Trump had to figure out a vaccine, we wouldn't have one. But we have doctors, we have scientists, the world has that. You know, I saw this incredible couple, this power couple from Europe and the Middle East that have put this vaccine together. I mean, I've been watching it all, and I am a believer that a vaccine will be coming. I didn't think it would come quickly, but probably quicker than you think because of the modern part of this, right? And obviously the need to get the world back in order.
Yeah, I mean, the first step, as they've said, is taking care of the hospital personnel and the extremely vulnerable, the people in the nursing homes. Like, we're going to be able to start to loosen up, not because you and I necessarily got the vaccine, but because we knew that the most vulnerable people did, and enough people have that it's going to start to shrink the universe a little bit of deadly potential. And frankly, we're going to be, just by virtue of living in the shadow of Johns Hopkins, and we're going to be, you know,
center.
We're going to get it. We're going to be early on. The refrigeration equipment is there. You know, it's like any other infrastructure. I mean, you know, there are spots certainly in the country that, you know, don't have Wi-Fi and don't have access to, highways as much. And, you know, like it's going to take slower to reach certain areas. And hopefully it's going to take slower to reach the more impoverished world. Unfortunately, I mean, we're going to have to, you know, there's going to be a Herculean effort to distribute it worldwide to places that aren't as, you know, lucky as the Northeast coast of the United States of America, you know.
Todd Schuler's here. Find them at damngoodlawyer.com. Drive by, honk the horn on Eastern Avenue if you're going through Essex at Blondell Miller Schuler. And also find these conversations very available out at the front of BaltimorePositive.com. I always appreciate you picking up a conversation around here and talking to the edge of sports and politics here, probably right around where we need to be. But as we go into the holidays here and this darkness setting in and Turkey next week and the Ravens and all of that, we're trying to keep the light on around here a little bit, Todd. All right.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Keep it happy. Let's use this holidays as the chance to heal ourselves. And like I say, get those lights up early, keep them up late. My wife always complains like, oh, Christmas lights are up too early. This hillbilly neighborhood, you know, like, don't worry about that. Like, put them all up. Let's have
fun. You know
fun.
What we should do, man? You and I should celebrate Festivus too, just air grievances at some point. Isn't that what we do?
Feats of strength and the airing of the grievances.
Find them at damngoodlawyer.com down in Essex. Todd Schuler, our pal, always joining us here. Find it at BaltimorePositive.com. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, anywhere around the world. Now in one place at BaltimorePositive.com.